Does silence make you feel awkward sometimes? You ever been in those situations where there's just like too much quiet? And the time just drags by. And there's a lot of noise in our lives, and sometimes it's really hard to get away from that. Last week we talked about the Lord's Prayer and a simple prayer that Jesus offered, which showed us an example of how we can talk to God in our own words. The Bible tells us to pray continuously. And, I mean, that's what we want to do, and we all say that's important, but, I mean, how many of us really do pray continuously? Well, Patrick Henry said, if you want to learn to pray spontaneously, you don't sit around and wait for prayer to come. You pray at 7 in the morning and at noon and at 7 at night, whether you feel like it or not, and one day, you may catch yourself praying at another time. Prayer is about a continual dialogue, an ongoing prayer with God. That's what we're all looking for. And that's not always easy, because sometimes, or a lot of times, it takes discipline. However, that's only one part of prayer. There's another part of prayer, too, and we're calling this inbound calls, listening to God's voice in our lives. Now, I've read a few books on prayer over the last couple months getting ready for this, and I couldn't find a single chapter in these books that was committed to hearing God's voice. How to hear God's voice. Someone explained it this way. They said, when we talk to God, it's called prayer. And when God talks to us, we tend to call that schizophrenia. There's this sense in which we're a little bit leery of this whole idea that God would speak to us. And there's a part of us, no matter how long we've been in the church, there's a part of us that's skeptical when somebody says, well, God told me, or God said to do this. But then we know that prayer is not it's not this monologue just with us running our mouths. It's not a one-way conversation where we speak and God listens. It's supposed to be a conversation where we listen for what God has to say to us. Today, we're going to look at a couple of instances in Scripture, and the first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to follow along in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you read about one of the examples of God speaking to someone and the person listening. In this case, it's Samuel, and it starts off this way. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So it starts off by telling us that this wasn't a frequent occurrence of God speaking. The word of the Lord was rare. Now, what it doesn't tell us why. We don't really see why from this story. Was it because God wasn't speaking, or was it because the people just weren't really listening? You see, there are a number of things that can hurt our reception, that can kill the signal that's supposed to be getting through to us. But the biggest signal killer in our lives is sin. And if you put this message in context in 1 Samuel 3, it comes in the context of sin. Chapter 2 is all about this sin that's in Israel, this ongoing sin. And the book of Judges leads up to this. When the book of Judges, there's great stories in Judges about Gideon and Samson and all these people we grew up listening to, you know, the felt board. In Sunday school class, and all had the red triangle that one week it was Satan and the next week it was Samson or somebody else. And all. Anyway, we all grew up with these, but the book of Judges talks about nothing but the deterioration of the nation of Israel. They get worse and worse as the book goes on. And that's the context we see here in 1 Samuel. You see, Eli, he was the chief priest. He was the high priest at the time. And his sons had followed him into the priesthood. But the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. They were stealing the offerings from the people who would bring them to God in the tabernacle. They were sleeping with the women who served in the tabernacle. And the Bible tells us that here in chapter 2 that Eli knew about this. He knew what was going on, and he didn't do anything about it. So you have to ask yourself in this situation, is it God who wasn't speaking, or is it the people who aren't listening? And if you haven't heard God's voice in your life, then you have to take an honest look at yourself. If there is unconfessed, unrepentant sin, and what I mean by that is, if you're sitting here and you're planning on going out and sinning, if you have sin scheduled in your calendar, that's ongoing unrepentant sin. If you know that you're going to be sinning this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow, if you just are planning on it, then don't expect to be hearing from God during that time. The biggest signal killer is unconfessed and unrepentant sin. So let's go back to our story. And this picks up in verse 2 in chapter 3. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." He got up and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel, it goes on, it says, did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I think a big question for us is this: is it possible? Is it possible for us to hear God's voice as clearly today as Samuel did so long ago? So there are a few things to talk about, just to draw out of this passage of how we can get a little bit better reception. The first thing I want you to notice is, if you're going to listen to God's voice, you need to be where God is. Be where God speaks. Put yourself in a place and a position to hear from him. In my office is like the black hole for cell phones. I get reception everywhere else in this building, even in the basement. But my office, nothing. I have to put my cell phone in a specific spot for it to at least ring. And then when it does ring, I get up and I go out in the fellowship hall, or I go outside. And sometimes if you're driving by and I'm walking around out in circles in the parking lot, I'm on my cell phone. I'm not crazy. Well, that's not a result of it. But all of that can be true spiritually as well. There are certain places and certain times where we best hear from God. For Samuel, it was in the temple. That's where God dwelt. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, if you're a Christian, the Bible teaches that God is inside of you, that God dwells inside of your heart. So wherever you are, there he is. But you'll still find that there are certain places and certain times where you can really hear his voice the clearest. Maybe it's going for a walk in the evening. Maybe it's sitting on your deck early in the morning. Maybe it's in your commute to work or lying awake in bed at night. The Bible says whenever we gather together, God is here with us. And when we hear God's word taught to us, we're listening to him. God's word is the foundation of everything that's taught in this building. We need a place where we can get away from the noise of life and focus on what God wants to say to us. But just know this: Satan doesn't want any of that to happen. And if he can keep you from coming here, that's what he's going to do. But if you come anyway, then he's going to do his best to distract you while you're here. C.S. Lewis wrote a book 70 years ago called The Screwtape Letters. And this is a book, and he imagines a conversation or a relationship between two demons, an old demon and a young demon. And the young demon's just got his first client, okay? And his job is to keep this person from knowing God. And Screwtape is mentoring this demon. The young demon's name is Wormwood, on how to turn the heart of a person he's been assigned to away from God. And in the very first letter, he writes to Wormwood, here's what Screwtape says: I once had a patient, a sound atheist. I don't know if that's really, if that exists. He said, I once had a patient, a sound atheist. One day as he sat reading something that was going to turn his mind in the wrong direction, the enemy, meaning the angel of the Lord, was at his elbow in a moment. Before I knew it, the demon says, I saw my 20 years of work beginning to totter. I struck instantly at the part of the man which I had best under my control, and I suggested that it was just about time he had some lunch. He goes on to advise Wormwood that if his person would enter a church, that this demon should do everything possible to distract him, either with a squeaky chair, the double chin of a person sitting near him, or with the odd clothes of another person, anything to distract him from what was being said. And I know today there are a lot of distractions. So when we come in here, we do our best to say, hopefully, God, I want to hear from you. When you're on your way to church, whether you're by yourself or you're with your family, just sit there. God, would you just get us ready to hear from you? You want to set aside the noise of life and the culture and the busyness of life and the chaos, and we just want to listen for your voice. Then once you leave here after your 30-minute nap and I put you to bed, you wake up, you ask God to respond to some things. Ask him to speak to you about different areas. Say, God, what part of my life doesn't match up with what we heard today? What should be the next step that I take? Just lead me so that I will know what your will is. Then you have to have a set time in your day, in your week, where you can just sit and listen. A time that's reserved just for you and him. Jesus sets this example in numerous places in the Bible. In the New Testament, it talks about he woke up early in the morning while it was still dark and went off to a quiet place to pray. Or he walked away from his disciples and went up on the mountain and prayed. So have a set time and a place that's reserved just for you to hear God's voice. Another thing we learn from this story in 1 Samuel is that when we're listening for him, we need to confirm that it really is God's voice that we're hearing. There's the discipline for the Iowa Yearly Meeting is this book of, you know, how you're supposed to run meetings and stuff like that. And I wouldn't call it scripture or on par with scripture, but there's a great line in there. And it talks about if you're reading your Bible or you're just sitting and you have this new revelation of, you feel like God has spoken to you and you have this new understanding of something. If it contradicts anything else in the Bible or anything else that you've been taught, it's not a new revelation, it's a delusion. So we can kind of talk about that, but there are a number of examples in Scripture of God speaking to his people. And probably one of the most bizarre and one of my favorites is in Numbers 22. And this is a great story. The Bible tells us about a prophet named Balaam. And God's enemies came to Balaam and said, hey, we want you to go with us and we want you to curse the people of Israel. And Balaam agrees to do this. So in Numbers 22, we read that one morning he wakes up and he gets on his donkey with two of his servants and he meets up with the princes of Moab and he goes to curse the people of Israel. So he's on the road going to do this and God is angry about it. An angel of the Lord appears on the road and draws his sword. Well, Balaam and his servants, they don't see this angel, but the donkey does. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord with the sword, so the donkey veers off the road and goes into the field. Well, Balaam becomes angry. He takes out his staff and he just beats the donkey back onto the path. They go a little bit further and the angel of the Lord appears again in the path with his sword drawn, but this time an angel of the Lord, he appears on the side of the road where there are walls on either side. There's no place for the donkey to go, so the donkey just slams Balaam against one side of this wall. And Balaam's angry, and he pulls out his staff, and he just starts beating this donkey all over again. They go a little bit further down the road, and this is sounding like vacation, when I take my wife and kids somewhere. They go a little further down the road. The angel of the Lord appears again with his sword, and this time it's a very narrow part of the path, and there's no way to turn right. There's no way to turn left. So if you pick it up in verse 27, it says, "When this donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And he was angry, and he beat her with his staff. And then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?'" Now, I think that's kind of hilarious, the talking donkey and all. But what's more bizarre and even funnier is that Balaam answers him. Balaam talks back to the donkey, which I think is really funny. I mean, you don't just have a donkey speaking, but Balaam's like, "Oh, you want to talk? I'll talk to you." So Balaam speaks to the donkey and says, "You have made a fool of me. If I had my sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." And he's arguing now. And the donkey says to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" So the donkey is using advanced logic now. And he's saying, "If this is true, then isn't this true as well?" And Balaam's like, "Well, you know, you have a good point." And he says, "No. In other words, you win. You're right. You've never done this before." So how many in here have lost an argument with a donkey or a dog? Then the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees this angel standing in the road with his sword drawn, and of course he falls down on his face. And you know what? If God spoke to me that way, I'd listen. Wouldn't we all? If I went home this afternoon and my son's toad talked to me and said, "Hey, come here, I got something to tell you," I would probably listen. Oftentimes, though, we're less confident that it's God's voice that we're hearing in our lives. And that was true for Samuel as well. God speaks to him, and Samuel just, he doesn't know who it is that's speaking to him, which tells us something really, really important here. It tells us it's possible for God to speak to us, and we don't realize it's him speaking. And maybe that's happening to a lot of us right now. It's also possible for us to mistake God's voice. Samuel thinks it's Eli who's speaking. So when God speaks, we need to confirm that it's his voice that we're hearing. There are a number of ways that God speaks to us today. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the stronger your relationship with God is, the stronger, the deeper your walk is, the better you're going to hear his voice and respond to his leading. Understand that the Holy Spirit will never lead you in a way that contradicts another way God speaks. Like, for example, he'll never lead you to do something that's confirmed by the Bible. He'll never lead you to do something that the Bible contradicts, because God speaks to us through his word. Now, the longer I'm a believer, the more I teach, the more I'm just convinced that the Bible truly is a supernatural book. It has a supernatural power to speak to us directly and personally. I am amazed at how when life changes, when new challenges come along, it seems that this book has new things to say to us, and we read it in a different way. You can read the same passage 50 times, and one time you read it, and it's like, man, did somebody just put that in there? Because we see it clearly for once. There is a lifetime of communication from God within the pages of the Bible. Don't say I'm not hearing from God. Don't say God isn't speaking to me if reading your Bible isn't a daily part of your life, because he speaks very clearly there. God also speaks to us through people, through his followers, through other Christians. Maybe he says, "I care for you," when you're going through a difficult time and you have a brother or sister in Christ who just understands and is there for you. Maybe he says, I provide for you through a friend who comes to help you with your home or help you with a meal. Maybe he says to you, I guide you through a Christian who confirms God's leading in your life. God also leads us through circumstances. He speaks to us sometimes by closing a door and opening another door. And it just becomes very clear what his will is in your life. There was a pastor or a guy applying for a job about 6 years ago, about this time, who applied for a job, got told, nah, no, we want somebody else. And then 3 days later called him back and said, hey, we want you now. Do you listen to that? I mean, if you're the guy standing there on the phone, you know, being told, hey, we changed our minds or something happened and we just, you know, it's going different. Do you listen to that? I think you do. There's been times, but you do. Anyway, now in the past, in the Old Testament, God oftentimes spoke through unusual ways. Maybe it was an audible voice, or maybe it was, you know, the donkey, or maybe it was a pillar of fire that he led the people of Israel with. But I love what Hebrews 1:1 says, and explains it this way. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So through Jesus Christ, through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, that's where we hear God's voice. Now, in order to hear God's voice, we also need to avoid constant distraction. Do you notice when God speaks to Samuel? It's not in the busyness of the day. It's when he's lying in bed at night, when he's still from the chaos of life. That's when he hears God's voice. There's another story in Scripture where God sets up this meeting with Elijah. Elijah goes on top of a mountain to wait for God to meet with him there. And while he's waiting, this hurricane-like wind whips through the mountain, and Elijah thinks, that's God. God's in the wind. But the wind dies down, and God isn't in the wind. And he continues to wait, and an earthquake shakes the mountain, and he thinks, that's it. God's in the earthquake. But the Bible says the earthquake ceased, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Then a fire erupts, and Elijah thinks, that's it. God's in the fire. But it's stilled, and God wasn't in the fire. And the Bible tells us that God came and spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice, in a whisper. The New Revised Standard Version translates it this way. It says, God's voice was in the sound of sheer silence. God spoke in the sound of sheer silence. How often do you experience the sound of sheer silence? Maybe the reason we don't hear God speak to us is because we're not listening for him. Because there's just so much noise. The Bible tells us in Psalm 46:10, be still. God says, and know that I am God. The word still there literally means to vacate. You can turn that and that God invites you on a vacation to get away from the chaos of life and just sit and talk to him and listen. Here's another definition of still. It is silence on the outside and it is surrender on the inside. Silence on the outside, surrender on the inside. Now, if you're like me, those are two things that you just, you know, war against. Those things don't come naturally for me. Yeah, when God speaks, it is often when we're silent on the outside and we've surrendered on the inside. The last thing I want you to notice is in order to hear God's voice, we need to respond in obedience. God speaks to Samuel and the assignment he gives Samuel. What he says to Samuel is, I want you to go and confront your spiritual mentor, Eli, about the condition of his home, his sons. And we read about that in that verse in chapter 2. Eli's sons were evil men. And God says, I want you to go confront Eli about his evil sons. Well, Samuel's like somewhere between 9 and 13 years old at this time. The last thing he wants to hear God tell him to do is to go and do this. I think sometimes the problem isn't that God hasn't spoken, it's just that we don't like what he says. We don't like where that points us. Do you ever do that as a kid? You don't want to hear something, so you just plug your ears and say, yeah, I'm not hearing anybody. You ever done that since you've been married? We do that sometimes with God. I mean, he's spoken clearly, yet we don't like what he's saying, so we pretend we haven't heard it. Or, anybody who's a parent knows this, your kid asks you one thing, doesn't get the answer he wants, so what's he do? He goes finds another parent and asks them the same thing. Sometimes when you're both in the same room. It's bizarre how they think. Here's the thing, though. The more we respond in obedience, the more you will hear God's voice. Think about training a dog. We all use treats to train a dog, right? Once that dog realizes that he's getting fed, if he does what he hears you real well. It's the only time he doesn't respond to you is when the treat that he's wanting to go after is bigger than the treat you're holding in your hand. I don't know if they still make them, but they used to make alarm clocks that had motion detectors on them. I had a roommate that had one of these in the service. All you have to do with when the alarm went off is just kind of do that. Anywhere in the room, if there's movement, it goes to snooze immediately. So if your alarm starts going off and you roll over, your alarm snoozed. Now, this sounds like a great idea at first, right? This is sheer genius. But then you realize it just makes it easier to ignore the alarm. Eventually, you never even realize the alarm is going off at all. And we keep waving it off, and eventually we just never hear it in again. You can become immune to the noise. You can miss it. And I think that's what happens sometimes with God's voice. He's spoken, and we've waved him off once, and we've waved him off twice. And we say stuff like, well, you know, next week or next month or when I get this part of my life together, I'll listen. Or not that I'll listen, then I'll respond. And then at some point, you just stop hearing it. And it's not that he stops speaking. The Bible says that God stands at the door and knocks. And it's not that he's not knocking. It's just that at some point, we stop hearing it. So the more you put him off, the harder it is to hear. And maybe this is where some of us are. This is where we find ourselves. We've heard God's voice in the past, and then one day he tapped you on the shoulder, and you just never responded. And then it happened again, and it happened again. And now you don't hear that voice or the prompting anymore. Here's what you need to know. He's still speaking. God still speaks to you every day. He's still waiting. He's still waiting for you to respond. That can feel like the most impossible thing for us to do during the day. And we have to get past those things in our lives that prevent us. You know, like Screwtape talked to Wormwood about throwing all these distractions and worrying about what's in our stomach and, you know, what the shiny new squirrel is that's running in front of us. What is it that's getting in my way of hearing God's voice? And once we identify that, we can work on those things. I told you this a few weeks ago. Christianity, the Christian life, is not just a trip you join. It's not something you're just along for the ride. It takes actual work. It takes actually an intentionality about life to be a true follower. Would you pray with me? Heavenly gracious Father, it is so easy for us. It is so easy for us to pray. We can open our mouths and talk to you and tell you exactly what we want. And too often we're like the 5-year-old kid who can rattle off our Christmas list and then we just go away. Or we come up with a new list, or there's always something new. And we fail to sit there and listen for your voice. And Lord, I would pray that in time you would continue working in each of our hearts and help us to get rid of all those things that clutter our lives and get rid of the noise the world puts in there. Help us to search out sheer silence so we can hear your voice. Hear your will for our lives. That through that we can glorify you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.